Well, good morning, everyone. I didn't expect to come up so earlier. It's so good. Thank you very much. Let me see. Please turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. For the latecomers, let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, if you will. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, let's read from verse 28 to 40. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.'" Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer, please. Father, we thank you for the opportunity of worshiping you this morning at this sanctuary. We are only part of the massive wave of worship globally. So, Lord, we join in those worship teams in praise you in this sanctuary. We ask you now, as we open your word, may your word open our hearts and minds. Speak to us. Help us to hear what you have to say to us this morning. Help us to apply the truth to our own lives. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. On Western Christian calendar, today is what is called the Palm Sunday. The Palm Sunday was the day when Jesus entered into the city of Jerusalem publicly and triumphantly. As you know, that Jesus had been to Jerusalem for many, many times. Even when he was a baby, his parents, Mary and Joseph, brought Jesus to Jerusalem and dedicated him in the temple as the firstborn son at the family. Because Mary and Joseph were devout believers of God, we would certainly assume that every year they would bring Jesus and the whole family to Jerusalem and celebrate the Passover over there every year. But at least specifically, the scripture tells us that when Jesus was 12 years old, he went up to Jerusalem, as you know, to celebrate the Passover. When the Passover was over, he stayed in the temple and sat among those scribes and teachers and asking those religious questions about God. It is absolutely amazing for a 12-year-old boy. How many boys that you know, when he grew up to 12 years old and willing to stay in the church for several days and asking those questions, thinking about those religious questions, It is absolutely amazing. In fact, after 3 days, 3 days later, when Joseph and Mary, their parents, came back to Jerusalem and found Jesus in the temple, they said to Jesus, kind of in a tone of, very unpleasingly, say, Jesus, hey Jesus, why you stay here? Why you still here? It's time to go home. Come on, pack up and go home. It's time to hit the road. But Jesus said to their parents, shouldn't I be in my Father's house and be remindful of my Father's business? On another occasion, you remember that on one of another important, when another important Jewish holidays comes up, one of the Jesus brothers said to him, hey Jesus, if you want to be a big man, if you want to be a famous man, it is time for you to come to Jerusalem and show yourself before people. His brother said in these words, in kind of a tone, in the tone of kind of scolding him, if you want to be a big person, if you want to be a famous man, it is time for you to go to Jerusalem and show yourself to the people, before people. But the scripture tells us that Jesus went up to Jerusalem for that holidays, religious holidays, feast, rather quietly, privately, and secretly. You see, Jesus is not a loud and lousy person. He has no interest to show himself before people. He is only concerned about worshiping God before God in his own heart. Well, this is a side topic, but I believe there is a lesson for us to learn today. So many people I know of, that they go to church, they come to church, not with a very good motive. They only show up, they only go to church on one or two important days, like Christmas or Easter's or Good Friday, so forth. When they come, they make sure that everybody knows they're coming and they're an important person. But Jesus is not like that. Jesus has no interest come to church to show himself before people. That type of person, I call them called person. Called people. In Chinese, we say, 叫有, 一叫就有, 不叫没有. They are called person. But Jesus is not like that. Jesus come to church with a worshipful heart. He has no interest to show himself before people. He only concerned about worshiping God before God. The point is, my point is this, is that Jesus is fundamentally a private person. He only go to temple, go to Jerusalem, celebrate the religious feast or holidays whatsoever, or Passover, privately, secretly, and without letting anybody know. But there is only one exception to all of these. That is what the scripture tells us today. The scripture tells us today on the Palm Sunday, Jesus entered into Jerusalem publicly and triumphantly. Standing on the hill of the Mount of Olives, facing Jerusalem, which was just a walking distance away, he said to two of his disciples, go down there to the village, and at the entrance of the village you will see a colt, a young donkey. Go there and bring that donkey to me. I'm going to use it. If the owners of the donkey ask you why, simply say, the Lord needs it. The two disciples, the scripture tells us, the two disciples went down there and exactly things happened. The owners of the donkey asked these two disciples, what you guys are doing here? The disciples said, the Lord needs it. Could you repeat this after me, please? The Lord needs it. Let's go. The Lord needs it. One more time. The Lord needs it. Excuse me. For the very first time, Jesus entered into the city of Jerusalem riding on a young donkey. When they came down from the Mount of Olives, when they walked into along the streets of Jerusalem, these disciples were so excited, they're so loud. They shouted, yelled, and screamed, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna." They were so excited. In fact, they were so loud that they broke Pharisees' ears. Those Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, please come down. Come down those, your people. They are too loud. Come on, stop them." Jesus said, "Look, if they don't shout, if they stop shouting, did you see these stones on the wall and on the streets? They will jump up and shout. Which one do you want?" So the Palm Sunday is really a red carpet day, if you will, for Jesus. It is like a royal and official entrance, reception to the King. It is like a parade for the King. Jesus, for the very first time, he entered into the city of Jerusalem publicly and triumphantly. It was the very first time Jesus publicly announced himself as the Messiah, as the King that God has promised to his people of Israel. You think it's a small thing, but by doing that, by announcing that he is a Messiah, he is ready for the Good Friday ahead. He is ready for the coming suffering. He was ready for the denied by Peter, betrayed by Judas, rejected by the leaders of the nation, and he was ready to be sentenced by Pilate and crucified by the Roman soldiers. He was ready for it. So this is what really the Palm Sunday is all about. This is why the Palm Sunday is so important. The four evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all recorded this Palm Sunday in their own gospel. There are many ways to celebrate the Palm Sunday, as those disciples shouted, yelled, and screamed on that day. But this morning, on this Palm Sunday this morning, I want you to forget about all those shoutings, yellings, and screamings for a moment. I want you to focus on just one small little sentence there. The Lord needs it. The Lord needs it. There are three important things, I believe. I would like you, excuse me. The cold. There are three important things I would like you to pay a notice. First of all, please notice that the Lord has a need. The Lord has a need. You see, the word God and the need is not, is kind of mutually exclusive. You don't find the word God and need existing at the same time. Either you have a God who has no need, or you have a need has no reference to God. You remember the famous Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my what? Could you please a little bit respond? The Lord is my what? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The reason for the psalmist say that bold statement, "I shall not want," is because the Lord is my shepherd. God is omnipotent, is all powerful, is almighty.
He has all the resources. He has all the powers at hand. That's why he can supply all the needs that we have. To say that God is in need is ridiculous. Almost sounds blasphemous, isn't it? But the scripture this morning tells us clearly that the Lord needs it. Lord Jesus himself said that. The disciples quoted it. The all four evangelists recorded. And we and you and I, we today read about it. We know that the Lord has said the Lord needs it. What Lord needs? It needs a young donkey. What's that for? It's for Jesus to bring to fulfill the Old Testament prophecy. If you're familiar, with your Old Testament prophecy in the book of Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 9, which is very easy to remember. Chapter 9, verse 9. Here's the words: "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion! Shout, daughter of Jerusalem! See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of the donkey." You see, back in 500 or 600 years ago, the prophet Zechariah saw in his vision that there will be a day when Jesus would enter into the city of Jerusalem publicly and triumphantly. Those disciples, those people who are surrounding him, shouting, yelling, and screaming. But nobody has been paying attention to the fact that Jesus needed a young donkey. He needs riding on that donkey to enter into the city of Jerusalem. You see, Jesus could have just made a donkey, or Jesus could have just walked into the city of Jerusalem. But that won't fulfill the Old Testament prophecy. A right donkey is needed at the right place at the right time. Now here's a lesson for us to learn, for you and me to learn, I believe, is that if Lord need a little young donkey at the right time, at the right place, the Lord needs you at the right place, at right time. Despite how insignificant you and I may be in others' eyes, despite that how unimportant, how small you and I may be in our own eyes, the fact remains that the Lord needs you. God does have a need for you and me. Please listen to me carefully. If you are saved, if you are a child of God, no one is left out, unneeded and unused in the house of God. Did you hear me clearly? If you are saved, no one is left out in the house of God, unneeded and unused. You may say to me, "Well, preacher, I just cannot speak well publicly. I'm a slow person in speaking." Well, that's okay. That's fine. You don't have to speak publicly well. In the church, in every churches, God only needs a handful of people to speak well publicly. As a preacher, as a teacher, standing before people, giving message to us. God only needs a handful of people. But if you cannot speak well publicly, I'm sure you can speak publicly, speak well privately. One of the biggest needs in every church as I went, I noticed that God needs people in the church know how to speak well to each other privately. Do you know how to speak to each other privately well? Well, privately? I've seen people speak very, very well, very, very eloquently in public, Yet on people's back, they speak bad. God does not need that kind of person. God needs you, needs me, to know how to speak well, gently, graciously to each other when nobody seeing you or watch you on their back. You may sit sitting over there and say, oh boy, of course, majorities of us now this morning is kind of young people, young men, young women. But in case that some of us sitting over here say, oh, I'm too old, I'm kind of aged, I'm useless. Now listen to me. In the church that I'm attending now, there's a pastor called Pastor Chivas. He is 82 years old. He's retired. Excuse me. He has retired. He retired from his position, but he has not retired from ministry. Just 2 days ago, on Wednesday, we have a Wednesday Bible study. the senior pastor was just have something other thing to do, so be absent. So Pastor Trivis substituted him in Bible study. He was 82 years old. He gave us such a good message on the coming of the Lord. And in the middle of his discourse, he said, oh, somebody can fetch me a cup of water. I'm kind of lost my voice. And after a little while, he said, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I have to sit down over there. I cannot stand over that. But this afternoon, he said, he said, I have to visit 3 families. And I have no one to go after this Bible study. He said, in our church, there are so many people who need to be visited, so many seniors, because the senior pastor was just kind of a new one, so he does not know many people. He said, oh, so many people need to be visited, I've been in this church for long, so I know many people, I have to visit them. He was so spinning around, busy for the Lord. I was sitting over there and said to myself, boy, look at this 82 years old man. He has already retired from the post, but he has not retired from the ministry, serving others. Whenever you see the needs in the church, that is the need that God needed you. Wants you to meet that need. If you see a brother or sister has in a material need, has in short of some supplies, if you see that, let me tell you, that is what God has opened your eyes to see, and God asks you to meet that need. Don't sit over there and say, God never wanted me. God never needed me. That's not true. Let me tell you my own personal testimonies, which I never forget. When I was studying Bob Jones University Seminary, I was a poor student. I have to work kind of part-time and to earn my tuitions and have to work. Afterward, I have to go to class. And so I was just really, really spinning around. Sometimes even I would skip lunch because I was so tired. I would go to the dormitory, I have a rest. So I skip my lunch. And the evening time, I don't have a computer. I don't have nowadays lab computer is very, very popular. None of us has. Need that, but back that time, even the desktop, desktop computers, very, very rare, and very few people can afford that. And after dinner, I have to go to the computer lab and type, do my homework, so forth. Oftentimes, by the time I went there, the computer was full. I have to wait, so it was just really difficult for me. So I prayed to the Lord. It just takes too much time for me to wait on those computers. Would you please supply one for me? I was not kind of praying that very seriously, but there was a sigh in my heart. I did do that. Now, on one Sunday lunch, I was sitting over there, one friend of mine said, oh, Stephen, look, after lunch, we're going to go to one of the computer stores nearby. They have a sale. They have a computer on sale. Would you go with us? I said, sure. You see, this is a lesson I learned later on. You never go to a friend. Go with a friend to buy stuff that they want, that which you don't need. You don't mind that time. What happened is that what ended is that I bought a computer for myself. I paid the credit card, everything, so I brought the computer back home. On the way home, this I never forgot. On the way home, you know, I'm kind of person, I don't exactly know how much I get in my pocket. I began to think that, boy, I got this computer home, but, you know, I don't know I can afford it. I don't think there's enough money in my pocket to do that. In fact, that is just so few, so I can remember. I know that for sure. It's only a couple of hundred in my all credit in my pocket. That was the evening, and to cut the story, long story short, that was the evening when I went back to campus. Everybody was so tired. There was a small voice in my heart that said, go to that mailbox and check. I said, oh, come on, it's too late, and everybody's so tired, I go check the mailbox tomorrow. So I went back to the dormitory, but that small voice still in my heart said, go to that mailbox and check it out. I said, okay. So I went to the mailbox. That was already late. It was almost closed. When I opened up my mailbox, something happened. There was a money order right there sitting in my mailbox. You don't believe this. The amount of that money order, the money over there, is exactly what I should pay for the computer. That's $1,500. What surprised me is not the amount of the money, is that nobody signed up their names. It's a money order. You know the money order, right? It is a money order. It's nobody showed up on the name. So even today, I do not know who supplied that need for me. But God knows. I believe that in heaven, in the future, I will find out who that person is. I'll be forever grateful. You see, the Lord knows the needs of yours. And the Lord will touch your heart, move your heart to meet that need. Some of you knew my mother when she was here. If she is here again, you might ask her about this testimony, which is very, very impressive to me when I was heard that testimony. I know this story because when that happened, when I was a kid. I remember one winter evening, about 9 or 9:30 o'clock, my mother all of a sudden said to my father, who and who, I think we have to visit who and who in the village. My father said, come on, it's late, it's dark, and it's cold, and let's wait until tomorrow. My mother said, sure, okay, let's wait for tomorrow. After half an hour later around, she said again, she said, who and who, you know what, the Lord said to me, we have to visit who and who in the village. You know, and my dad said, oh, sure, well, let's go. This is what happened. This is what I know afterwards, is that they went to a village, which is by bicycle. There's no car at that time. There's a bicycle. They ride on a bicycle to the village, which is like take an hour long, in a snowy, dark winter day, winter evening. They opened up their doors and meet the brother. They didn't say anything. They sit down and kind of chatting around. There's nothing specific things mentioned. So by the time they left, the mother put $100 on the table and said, look, brother, the Lord has said to me that ask us to visit you this evening, but we don't know what you have in need. This is some dollars put there, renminbi out there. May Lord bless you. May God bless you, and you may be needed. As soon as my mother said that, this brother burst into tears. He said, come back and sit down. Let's talk about it again. He said, oh, God knows my prayer. God is the one who really knows our hearts. And he, of course, later on, he began to talk about his stories. And what happened is that he helped other people in the village, and he used up all his resources. Then he has wife and kids at home to need to be fed. So he asked for God for that. And that was what happened, that my mother that night was moved and was asked to visit him. You see, brothers and sisters, we are one body. We are one body in the church. You never separated from one another. The Lord has a need, and the Lord asks you to meet that need. In many cases, God does not need an angel. God needs you and me to see each other and to meet that need. The first thing I would say, I want you to take notice, is that God has a need. The second thing is that God has a request. He not only has a need, he has a request. In other words, God always make his needs known to you. In the scriptures we read this morning, the Lord said to the owners of the donkeys that the Lord needs it. Some Bible scholars said that Jesus had made an early arrangement with the owners of the donkeys that, you know, when the time comes up and the disciples only need to come over and said that those words are like the Lord needs it. It may or may not be true. I don't care. But the point is, the truth is that the Lord verbally, clearly communicated his need to his people. I'm so glad that our Lord, our God, is not kind of God. You never know what he's thinking. I'm glad that our God hide his thoughts so that we kind of left to suppose, left to guess what he wanted from us. Did you hear me? God said to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to get out of your town, get out of your town, and go to the land that I will give to you. As you go, I will bless you. God said to Moses, Moses, I want you to lead my people out of Egypt, the bondage of slavery. God said to David, David, I don't want Saul anymore. I'm giving him up. I need a new king over my people of Israel. Would you please come out and be that person for me? God said to Mary, Mary, look at your son. Jesus said to John, John, look at your mother. Jesus, our Lord, our God, always makes his need known to you. He always communicated to you, make his will abundantly clear to you. What man need? One of the great Chinese Christian leaders in 20th century, he said something like this. He said, it is God's job to make his will clear, but it is your job to carry it out. You see, God's job is to make his will clear. We're never, never left to suppose, to guess what the God is thinking about. Some of you sitting over there say, God has never called me. I'm just a small little potatoes in the church. Never got God. I never felt God called me. I never felt God needs me. Now listen. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus said this. He said, lift up your head and see. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. It is a very interesting passage. God asks you to ask him. You don't sit there and wait. You bend your knees and ask. You don't sit over there and wait, oh God, why don't you call me?
You bend your knees and ask Him. He said, Lord, I have seen the needs all over, everywhere in the churches, within and without the church. Would you please send workers out to help? Lord, if you have mercy on me, could it be my me? Would you please call me? Now, you sit over there, don't wait, but you bend your knees and ask Him, and God will send you out. You are saved not to sit. You are saved to serve. All you need to do is look up and ask. I want to make it crystal clear this morning to you. I'm the kind of person, I'm straightforward. I want you to make clear this morning. The Lord needs you. You, every one of us today in this morning, in this room. God needs you. No matter how small you are, despite how young you think you are, the Lord needs you. The wonderful thing of serving God is that you will never be disappointed. Your life will not be the same as before. The happiest person belongs to the one who knows his place in the service of God. Let me say it again. The happiest person belongs to the one who knows his place in the service of God. The happiest person is not the wealthiest person. You think money can buy you happiness? No, that's not true. Bill Gates has been on the top of the world for 13 years as number one billionaires. But now he's number what? Nobody knows? I'm talking about Bill Gates, that famous person. You should know him better than me. Bill Gates has been on the top of the world as number one billionaires for 13 years, but now he's number three. Now who knows what's going to happen next year or 10 years down the road? The happiest person is not the wealthiest person. The happiest person belongs to the one who knows his place in the service of God. I don't know about you, brothers, sisters. How I wish to be that little small donkey. How I wish that I was created for our Master's use. There are billions and millions and billions of donkeys in the world. There's only one right donkey at the right place at the right time for God. I wish to be that donkey, created for Him, created for Creator. You sitting over there today thinking about who need me? I say to you, God needs you. God needs that little young donkey has never been written before. God needs you for His purpose. Are you willing to be that little small donkey? Are you willing, down your heart, say to the Lord, God, I don't think I'm that great. I don't think I'm kind of able. I don't think I'm kind of smart. But one thing I can give to you is my availability, not my ability, but availability for you. Would you please call me? Would you please use me for your service, whatever it is? Overseas missionaries, homeland missionaries, do things in the church, do things outside church, witness to people, speaking well, speaking gently to each other, whatever it is. Lord, whatever you ask me to do, I'll be willing to do that. If this morning, as Brother Kelvin lead you into singing the song, I sitting over there, I feel bad. Because why? Because I don't hear anybody sing on my back. Just a small little volume over there. Why don't you sing loudly? You see, Lord, whenever I have an opportunity, whenever I have a moment, I'll give it to you. I don't reserve anything. In some of the churches I went, when it comes to singing the songs, it sounds like the whole big rooms, nobody was sitting over there. Why don't you sing loudly? Why don't you, just like disciples that day, shouting, yelling, and screaming, joyfully praising God? Why are you sitting over there, looks like betray yourself like an important person? You say to the Lord, Lord, I'm not that great, I'm not that smart, I'm not that able, but one thing I can give to you, Lord, whatever I have, I give it to you. The Lord needs you. The Lord needs you to serve Him, whatever He calls you to do. So the first thing, the Lord has a need. The second thing, the Lord has a request. The third thing I want to let you to pay notice is that the Lord, whenever, as soon as He gets request, He always has a response. He never fails. In other words, when God asks you, He always has a positive response. The owner of the donkey asked, what are you guys doing here? Why are you untying my donkey? The disciple says, the Lord needs it. The owner of the donkey didn't say anything afterwards. And they let the disciples go. And they bring the donkey to Jesus for service. How about you? How about you and me? There is only one Moses. There is only one David. There was only one Abraham. There is only one Paul. I don't think, unless God has miracles among us, I don't think, including myself, we're going to have some Pauls and Abrahams and David among us in this generation. But the Lord need big figure and Lord need small figure. The Lord need that little small young donkey. Once again, it is not ability, it is the availability counts. If you are the owner of the donkey, are you willing to give up that donkey for the Lord? There is a donkey in every man's heart that is so precious to him. Are you willing to give it up for the Lord? The hymns that we have just sent in this morning by Brother Kelvin. Take my life and let it be. If you love hymnals as I do, you must be familiar with those famous hymns like Take My Life and Let It Be, or Like the Rivers, Like the River Glorious, or I Give My Life for Thee, or Who Is on the Lord's Side. All these famous well-sung hymnals are written by the author called Francis Harvigal. Francis Harvigal was born in December 14, 1836 in England and died in June 3, 1879, only 42 years on the earth. A short, indeed, a life. At the age of 4, she began reading and memorizing the Bible. At the age of 7, she was ready to writing her thoughts in verses. Throughout her brief life, she was frail and delicate in health. Yet she learned several modern languages, such as Hebrews and Greek and Hebrew. She memorized the Psalms, the Book of Isaiah, and most of the New Testament. God's Holy Word was her constant companion. Her sister said, "She reads." At her study table, she reads her Bible by 7 o'clock in the summer and 8 o'clock in winter, her Hebrew Bible and Greek Testament and lexicons being at hand. You know, when I read these words, I know how hard it is. Any theological students will tell you that studying Greek and Hebrew is not an easy thing. But here, look at this young and layman, so to speak. She loves the Word of God, and she studied Greek and Hebrew. She doesn't have to do. Because she loves the Word of God, she studied those languages in order to understand this Word of God more precisely and exactly. At the age of 42,
Her physician told her that her physical condition was serious and that she did not have long to live. Francis replied, "If I am really going, it's too good to be true." At the bottom of her bed, she had her favorite text placed where she could readily see it. The blood of Jesus Christ washed, cleansed us from all sin. That's her favorite text. Francis lived a short but full life. She was greatly used by the Master of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what she said in this beautiful, beautiful hymn, which I love so much. "Take my life and let it be," he said, "take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee." Now listen to the second verse. He said, "Take my voice and let them sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold, not the might what I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose." Here is a dear sister, which we will meet her in heaven. Only lived 42 years, a short, brief life on earth, but she was greatly used by God. I admire her. I want to be a person like her, to spend my life for the Lord, for His service. I want you to think about this morning. This is the message I feel I need to speak to you this morning and speak to myself. The time passed quickly. As I reflect my own life, I'm 43 years old this year, but when I reflect my years back, 10 years, 20 years, just fly like that. You sitting over here thinking about, I have a long life to live, I have a long way to live. By the twinkle of eyes, you'll be 40, 50, 60, 70, 80. If Lord's willing, you're going to be still here if she tarries. But what have you counted for Him? What you have been used for Him? Are you needed by the Lord? Yes, I say yes. But are you used by Him and for Him? What is your life for? I want you to think about this as my young friends. To think about yourself. Think about this young little donkey. Forget about those shouting, yelling, screaming for a moment. But don't forget that little young donkey on a Palm Sunday, which is used and needed and requested by our Lord. Let's bow our heads and pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you for the opportunity again to worshiping you in your house. We know, Lord, we are not that great. And you have not made us as Paul and Abraham, David, and Moses. You have not made us it has not pleased you to make us as a big and famous figure. But whatsoever, Lord, it is, we are made for purpose. We are made for meaning and value, which is only you can use it. So, Lord, we want to say to you this morning, we want to be used for your service. Use our lives as our dear brother, dear sister Francis. I wonder how many of us today, this morning, when in this room, when you hear the message of God, would say to the Lord, "Lord, I have heard your voice this morning. I want to dedicate my life for you. Whatever ability that I have, I want to be needed, used for your purpose." If that is your prayer and desire, would you please lift up your hand? Let me see. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God, anybody else? I want to be like that little young donkey. despite how insignificant in others' eyes, I want to be used and needed for the Master. Father, you have seen these hands. Would you bless these hands and bless their lives accordingly? And Lord, have mercy upon us. Help us to live a life which is worthy of your grace and your calling. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.